Hello and welcome to Tag One Team Talks, the podcast and blog of Tag One Consulting. I'm really excited to announce that we're publishing an in-depth, step-by-step, 30-part blog post series that's going to guide you through the entire process of migrating your data from Drupal 7 to Drupal 10. And it comes complete with a local DDEV environment, including a D7 source site with data and a D10 target site that you can migrate your data to. Joining me on the show today is Tag One team member Mauricio Denarte, a well-known Drupal migration expert and the author of this series. We're building a guide that's going to help everyone who needs to transition from Drupal 7 to the latest version of Drupal, whether you're a developer looking to learn hands-on how to upgrade your site or a site owner embarking on a large-scale migration with an agency partner, and you want to better understand the most complex and costly aspect of the migration process. This series is going to cover everything that you need to know about data migrations. I'm Michael Myers, the Managing Director of Tag One. We build large-scale applications in Drupal, as well as many other technologies for global 500s and leading organizations in every sector, including Google, Sumitomo, Al Jazeera, the White House, and the AFL-CIO, just to name a few. We have the largest concentration of top Drupal contributors and security team members at any organization, and we're responsible for a lot of the innovations that have helped make Drupal the success that it is, including the creators and maintainers of Drupal's Migrate API, which is the tool that's used to migrate your data in Drupal. If you need help with your large-scale migration or large-scale application, please email us at info@tagone.com. My guest, Mauricio, is a software engineer with an MBA, a master's in business administration, who loves teaching, public speaking, and writing. He's worked on a lot of large-scale Drupal migration projects and is a recognized expert when it comes to the Migrate API. He's done numerous conference presentations, workshops, and more, and he's published many articles, as well as another 30-part migration series back in 2019. Mauricio, thank you so much for joining me, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get started, I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. When I read your first post, and I think people are going to think this when they do as well, it was amazing. It was super detailed, yet at the same time, it was like really easy to read. There was an insane amount of links to other resources. You clearly put a lot of time and effort into not just writing it, but linking to resources, including alternatives to migration. Say, hey, have you considered other options and things that you might do, or other approaches that, you know, might be less popular but are still viable? So, for example, I think, you know, one of the things that surprised me is that the Feeds module is something that people use to do migrations instead of the Migrate API. I've been doing Drupal for 20 years. I've done a lot of complex migrations, and I didn't know that that was a thing. So I'm really confident that whoever is going to be using your series, you know, developers, business folks, you know, it's going to be an amazing resource to help them plan and work on their migration. At a high level, you know, just in your own words, can you just summarize, you know, the series? Tell us what it's about and what you're going to cover.
Yeah, sure. The series is what I like to call a very opinionated guide. And by that, I mean there are multiple ways in which you can tackle a migration, but I will show one very specific way. And this is coming from, as you said, like a lot of projects that I have been involved and experienced. So this is my current preferred way of working with migrations. The series starts covering some theory, both from Drupal 7, like how to audit a Drupal 7 site, and then Drupal 10, like how to prepare for the upgrade and evaluating what is the best approach to follow. As I said, the Migrate API is one of many approaches, and it is my preferred one, but by no means the only one. So I try to give as much information so you make an informed decision, and hopefully you are convinced to use the Migrate API. And when you do so, then we go into the example, which includes migrating configuration and migrating content, multiple entities of each type, and general like gotchas that you might encounter. One of the things that we dedicate a full article is how to avoid conflicts when you migrate data. You might have a Drupal 7 site that has, you know, real data, and you are developing in Drupal 10, but while developing in Drupal 10, the Drupal 7 site continues to get updates and new content. So at some point, there might be overlap between entity IDs. and we go over like different approaches to that you can follow to avoid conflicts. In addition to that, we go through different examples, not only about how to migrate the data itself, but how to accommodate content model changes. Let's say that you had something that used to be a node, but now you want to use user entities, or you want to leverage Layout Builder that was not being used before, or you want to change from a paragraph implementation to a regular node. So if you need to make any type of content model change, we're also going to talk about that. If you have content that you no longer need in the new site, like filtering out content, if you need to somehow change, let's say from media, from regular files in Drupal 7 to using media entities in Drupal 10, how to create custom source or process plugins to, accommodate different transformations that might be needed. And at the end, we're going to talk about events and hooks and how to debug migrations, which is something that I do every day. Every time that I work with a migration, there will be something that doesn't work as expected. So we're going to show you how to debug a migration when something doesn't go, as you wish.
Yeah, you really do cover a lot of bases, even within a single aspect. I mentioned fees earlier. Another thing that I didn't think about is manual migrations, right? For a small site, it may not make sense to use any API or feeds module, or maybe for even a small aspect of a really large site. So you present people with a lot of great ideas and options, all the way through to debugging, really complex aspects of migrations. And you think you're, debugging and migration aren't like two words that, you might think go together, but the reality is, with data transformations and all of these things that are happening as part of a migration, data migration is very complex. And it totally makes sense when you think about it, that it does require migrations. At the top of the show, I mentioned that I think everybody can learn something from this series, but it is without a doubt, a step-by-step guide, a how-to. So the primary audience is developers. What level of expertise do I, if I want to follow this along hands-on and use this to, really learn how to do a migration, what level of expertise do I need?
Ideally, you have some familiarity with the Migrate API. I would like to clarify that this series is focused on migrating from Drupal 7 to Drupal 10, but this is just one use case of the Migrate API. As I covered in my 2019 series, you can use the same core API to migrate from like hard-coded data or Excel or Google Sheet or JSON or XML or many other different type of sources. And many of the things, like if you understand the syntax of the API, like of how to write a YAML file, which I'm going to cover briefly, but that was explained more in depth in the original series. If you get a sense of what is a source, a process, a destination plugin, again, I'm going to mention it, but it's not going to be the primary focus of this. This is going to be as much as possible, hands-on example of going from Drupal 7 to Drupal 10. So as long as you are familiar with that, you should be good to go. And one of the things that I find really empowering about the Migrate API in Drupal 10 is that you need very little programming knowledge. For one, it is written in YAML, so not even PHP is a hard requirement. In that original series, I show a little bit of PHP for completeness, but most of the series doesn't involve writing a single line of code. So this one, again, like at least half of it, you can follow even if you don't have experience with PHP itself. And again, we're going to be showing how to write PHP, especially when we talk about custom source and process plugins, and when we talk about debugging. But most of the series you will be able to follow along. And yes, it is written with developers in mind, but I want to point out a few things. One, I really like to distill content so that anybody can follow it, and by that I mean literally anybody. If you are a business owner, if you are a small shop, if you are a one-person organization that is doing this type of work, There will be something for you. And what I usually do is that I write for the broadest audience, and then I have like technical notes. If you know some for developers, I have just like side notes for you know marketers or business owners. There will be you know information for some personas that I would like to highlight throughout the series. But in general, if you are curious about migrations, if you want to learn how to do it, as long as some familiarity of site building concepts and the Migrate API, that suffices to follow along.
We'll put a link in the show notes to your original series. Great reminder to check it out. There's some awesome background material that can really help people get the most out of this guide. So if you're going to follow this guide, please make sure to check that out as well. So if I am going to follow along and do the data migration hands-on as a developer, what do I need? Are there prerequisites? You know, do I need to have my own site, a sample site? You know, how do I do this?
We are going to provide an example Drupal 7 site, and this comes with a DDEP installation. So, if you want to follow with the example, you need to have DDEP installed, and you will also need Docker. But other than that, clone the repository, DDEP start, and you should be ready to go. We provide examples both from Drupal 7, including like all the code, all the files, and all the database that you need. And we also provide a Drupal 10 environment with DDEP. And this one we divide. We have like the final version with the full complete example that you can use as a reference. But using Git and Git branches, we also like have like checkpoints that, you know, if you are starting from scratch and you follow the series like one article at a time, you can use this branch to like start from scratch. If you want to start midway through the series, we're going to make like a stop when we go from configuration migrations to content migrations. Again, there will be a branch for that, and you can start from there. And at the end, you have like the complete example and running a couple of commands. You get the full thing ready.
So, in, you know, I, we just talked about the previous series that you did in 2019. It was called 31 Days of Drupal Migrations, and you posted one post a day for 30 days, which honestly is just crazy. Are you crazy enough to do that again? What's your plan for publishing this new series for the D7 to D10 edition?
Yes, well, that was too much, and I learned my lessons. So, you know, back then I basically have full sponsorship for a month to work only on the series, and even with that, it was tough. So the plan now is to write two articles per week. I think that is going to be a better cadence, in my case, to make it sustainable, but also for the reader to be able to follow along.
Yeah, you put out too much too fast. People aren't going to be able to keep up. So, 2 weeks, two posts a week sounds like a great cadence. Now, we don't have time to go through everything. You know, you mentioned a lot of things that are going to be covered in this series, but I think it would be great to give people a sneak preview and dive a little deeper into some of the key topics that you're going to cover. Before we do that, I want to talk a little bit more about the DDEV environment. You know, you can provide a local environment with a Drupal 7 site, sample data, the D10 install, which is the migration target. We covered DDEV in a recent TagOne team talk with Randy Fay. It is shockingly easy to use. Is the assumption, you know, because it's so easy that anybody can just get up and running with it, you know, are you going to provide step-by-step setup installation instructions? You know, what comes along with this environment?
Yes, we're going to provide a README, and in the README there will be like for each Drupal 7 and then for Drupal 10 about 10 commands that you should run, and with that you get everything. I really enjoy DDEV. I've been using DDEV exclusively for the last like 3 years at least, and it makes developing and debugging and performance testing for Drupal and for other projects for that matter very easily. So and we have other team members like proofreading and reviewing the work that we've been putting into this. And you know, we found that just like by putting the commands that you need to execute assuming that you have Didem installed, that's enough. Something that I want to clarify is that even though we are providing all of this, you are free to use either not Didem, you still have access to the Drupal 7 database and files. So if you have a different local environment of choice, you can import that into your environment and follow along. Or if you want to just like practice this on your own website, you can follow the same techniques and do it with your real project. But ultimately, you are going to have all the tools and all the resources so that you can have a full example with a repository that we're going to provide.
Dive in and migrate your site with the series. Love it. In the introduction post that I mentioned that I really loved, you take a step back and you discuss, the different components, what makes up a migration, how they factor into it. And the second topic that you cover is a site audit. What is a site audit in the context of a migration? And why is that the first topic after the general intro?
There is a saying that I really like in English. It says, measure twice, cut once. When I present on migrations, I usually say measure thrice, cut once. And this comes both from my own experience and from seeing other people, specifically other people asking for help in Drupal Slack. Sometimes people, come to Drupal Slack and they have a very, very specific question and they want an answer to that, but they don't take the time either to understand what is going on or to understand like if there is a better alternative. So with that in mind, I take a step back and review the Drupal 7 site is from a content model perspective. That includes reviewing all the content types, how many nodes per content types there are, how many of those are published or not. We have seen sites that, they are 10 years old and a lot of cruft has accumulated that people are not interested in moving over. So you need to have a clear idea of, what is going to be moved over. And a good indicator of things that are not necessarily is, are unpublished nodes, but in some cases, especially if you have like publication workflows, you might have a high percentage of notes that are not published but are still necessary to be carried over. So again, like this is more like an X-ray kind of thing. You review the data and make some analysis on top of that. In addition to the notes, we also review field types, like what field types are in use. We review vocabularies, we review files, file types. If you're going to be using media, we consider like local files, remote files. We review if you are using paragraph, if you are using organic groups, if you are using rules, basically anything that has the possibility to impact the content model or some like very large code bases that might require some refactoring in the new site, we take all of that into account. And even other things that sometimes are overlooked, like image styles or text formats. Some of those might have even security implications. So we review all of that and we are actually going to provide a template, like a Google spreadsheet that you can use to fill out and with some recommendations of what things to look for. And in one of the articles, we're actually going to use the Drupal 7 site that we have and give you the SQL queries that you can run against the database to fill out the template.
There's a lot of things that change from Drupal 7 to Drupal 10. You need to factor a lot of considerations. Migrations touch on so many different aspects of the site, handling users and permissions, files, configuration data, and your series dives into these. But I want to talk a little bit more about the configuration and data part because, when you think about D7 to D10 and how much changes, like I wonder, like, is it really worthwhile or possible to migrate configuration from 7 to 10? Can you talk a little bit more about, what you have lined up on that front?
Yes, so the Migrate API In Drupal Core supports two things, migration of configurations and content from Drupal 6 and Drupal 7. The part related to configuration, this is very tied to the previous questions about what do we want to make an audit with from Drupal 7, because you might want to leverage new things that became available in Drupal 8. For example, media in core became available in Drupal 8, and by extension, it is also available in Drupal 10. It hasn't been moved out of core yet. Layout Builder didn't exist before. You might want to use Layout Builder. So for one, if you are going to migrate the configuration, which includes content types, which includes media entities, which includes vocabularies, organic groups and commerce stores, a lot of other things, if you're going to make a one-to-one copy, the Migrate API will, for the most part, work out of the box. But if at any point you need to make transformations, as I said before, if you want to go from files to media entities, or if you want to go from one entity to another, and to give concrete examples, I work on a site some time ago that was using organic groups in Drupal 7, and it was using the groups module in Drupal 10. So even though they are very similar in name, the underlying structure of the entities and the tables is totally different. So you need to be able to accommodate, the data transformations to from one version to another. But again, like in our example, we're going to show how to automatically migrate content types and fields, view modes, vocabularies, media, and a few more things. But one thing that we're going to show, but with a catch, is views, because views is a very, very big topic. There are a lot of things that modules that extend views, and officially in core or by the Migrate API maintainers, there is no support for views migrations, but the community stepped up and there are a couple of modules that provide support, and one of them is very complete. I have used it to automate, views migrations, and even though it may not get you all the way there, it is a good starting point. So, views is also part of configuration that we're going to be demonstrating how to migrate.
There are so many different things to cover. So migrations involve a lot of complex transformations, potentially. The how-to guide that you're writing is based on the Migrate API, which is by far the most popular approach to doing data migrations. And it's a super powerful and flexible tool that enables you to do all of these things, right? It's the engine that drives data migrations. So it's safe to assume that you're going to cover a lot about the Migrate API. Can you give us a sneak preview, with some of the things you are going to touch on?
Yes, as you said, the Migrate API is very big and it will be unfeasible to write everything in 31 days. So I will be focusing on the things that I find most useful or more common. The first one would be writing process plugins. And the example about this will be how to merge two fields from Drupal 7 into a single field in Drupal 10. Process plugin is the most common customization that you need to make. So there will be at least one throughout the example. We are also going to go over hooks and events. How you can react when these are fired as part of the migration process and the different phases of the migration process, so that you can either alter the data or like that you are receiving from Drupal 7, or alter the data right before it is being sent to Drupal 10 for storage. One thing that I want to highlight here is that the Migrate APIs interact with other APIs in Drupal. So you are not writing to SQL tables directly. What you do is you prepare data that is being passed on to the entity API, for example, if you are creating nodes. And when you do so, everything that the entity API does, you can have access to that. And one of those things, if you wanted, is enable validation. So validations are sometimes tricky when it comes to migrations. They are very important to catch potential data inconsistencies, but sometimes you get a very obscure error. and you just like don't know what to do about it. So again, like we're going to be distilling some of the knowledge that we have gained over the years. So when you see this weird error, oh, this is the reason why it happens. I remember that one of those like things related to validation that was hard for me to understand was when you have migrations of files and a follow-up migration of media triggers an error if the file is not stored as permanent, and that is a flag in the file entity. So even though I was migrating media entities at this point, my error originated from a previous migration in file. So that's not very common that you have like validation problems in two different migrations. Usually it will be only on the one that you're working on. But again, like it's that kind of things that, you know, why is this happening? You need to like research a little bit and then it makes sense. But other than that, as we're going to talk about in the series, the Migrate API is an implementation of an ETL pattern, and we have talked about ETL in depth in the DTT talks. So again, not to go too deep into that now, but we're going to show how to write custom source plugins. We're going to show how to write custom process plugins. And in the case of the destination plugins, it's very rare that you need to write one. So we're just going to mention it, but the example itself is not going to include one destination plugin. But yeah, like all of that, how to fetch the data, how to filter out the data, how to process the data, do the transformations that you need for going from, you know, one potential entity to a different one in Drupal 10, all of that is going to be covered.
As well as how to debug and, you know, look into challenges that might arise from doing all of that. So is there a subject matter that you feel is, you know, too often overlooked or something that people don't talk about enough that you're going to shine a light on?
Yeah, I would say that debugging, some people think it's complicated. Some people just don't want to try it. And to be honest, after using a proper debugger, I cannot go back. Like you get access to everything. Like you can access the state of the application, like what variables are available at this stage of the migration and what comes later, like how the transformations go, even if you want like one line at a time, what is happening under the hood. So I think that that's one of the best investment that you can do is like how learn how to debug. And with Dedeb, it's literally like one command in, you know, in the terminal, set up a breakpoint, and for the most part, it does it for you. It's kind of magical. So other than that, I would say like invest the time. And in the series, like there will be like articles specific about migration and debugging and other topics. Will also be included like tips and how-tos and, you know, even performance considerations. So if you are in the articles on migrating files, there will be considerations about debugging, about performance that pertain to files migrations. As I talk about nodes, there will be that. Yes, there will be some articles that will expand on the topic, but you can expect some, you know, part of that, like debugging, performance, and just like tips in general in each of the articles as they are pertinent.
In, you know, 30 plus posts, you're going to cover a lot of topics, pretty much everything that the average site owner needs and more. But obviously, you can't cover everything, right? You mentioned you're going to go into views in limited depth and detail. The Migrate API is so massive, you could write a book on it. Can you give a sense, you know, what won't you be covering in this series? And perhaps this is where we should have just started.
Yes, I will cover most of what Drupal Core provides and a handful of contributed modules. That being said, things that I will not be covering are organic groups migrations, and mostly because the common operate path is going from Drupal 7 organic groups to Drupal 10 groups, and that is going to be very dependent on your use case. So we have done that in the past for multiple organizations, and every instance is like very like personalized. So there is not an easy way to abstract that, at least in the context of the example that we are providing. So organic groups to groups, that is not being covered. Something else is rules. Rules, and there are modules that you can get similar functionality. ECA is a very common detailed alternative, but there is no automatic upgrade path in between the two. So for one, no, we were not going to cover that. But also, and this is again like mentioned in the articles, sometimes even though there might be a module that does something similar, maybe a different approach altogether suffices. In many cases, when we have rules in Drupal 7, we review what they are doing, and you can accomplish the same thing by writing custom code. Sometimes they use rules to automatically publish or unpublish content. There are modules that can do that without using rules. There are rules for sending an email. You can do that again, either via modules or via custom code. So that's why an audit is very important, because it gives you like a better idea of, do I need to keep this module? Can I use an alternative module? Should I write custom code? Like, should I follow a different approach altogether? So going back to the things that we are not be covering, multilingual content, again, we're going to discuss it. And even some of the examples for nodes, we're going to use what is called a complete migration. And the complete migration moves over the current revision, all the previous revisions, and all the translations. So even though the site is not multilingual in itself, the same procedure will apply if the nodes were multilingual in Drupal 7. They will, like, the translations will also be ported over. But for the context of the example, we will not be covering multilingual migrations.
I would think that, if you follow this series hands-on, you're going to have, the ability to tackle a lot of the things that you don't cover as well. So I think folks will learn a lot from this series that they could apply to things that aren't necessarily covered, and it would be impossible to cover everything. I keep saying that I think everybody can learn something from this series. So I'm curious, did you learn something from this series, in doing this?
For sure. When I wrote the original series, I had an idea in mind, a list of topics, and then literally turned on my debugger and started stepping through the code, because most of it I didn't understand. And when you write something, it forces you to have a deeper understanding, for one, because you want to make sure it is accurate, but also because you want to translate that, sometimes very technical knowledge into something that can be easily digestible, but by anyone. And in general, there is a book called CSS Secrets. The author is Leah Burrow, and in the preface, she has a quote that I really like: "Understanding the process of finding a solution is far more valuable than the solution itself." And that is my ultimate goal with the book. Like, yes, you're going to have a very opinionated example. You are going to write migration files. Literally, when you have all the repository and the example code, in less than 15 commands, you have a full Drupal 7 site, a full Drupal 10 site, and all the configuration and the data migrated. Yes. But ultimately, my goal is to teach you how to do it, to teach you how to approach a problem that I might not be covering, to teach you how to debug, to give you an idea of, oh, I need to use a process plugin for this, or maybe this is better suited with a source plugin, or, oh, yes, I didn't cover this specific entity type, but I get a sense of how I can go about understanding how it works in Drupal 7, and I want what I want to do in the data with Drupal 10. So, yes, my goal is more than just copy these commands blindly. It's like make you think and understand how your Drupal 7 site works, how Drupal 10 could work in your case, and basically connect the two points.
I think you do an awesome job of doing that. Every post I've read, I said you know, it's really technical and in depth, but it's interesting and easy to read. I think that people will get a tremendous amount out of reading and following this, even if you're not doing it for the hands-on component. Data migrations are one of the most complex and costly aspects of any migration project. And so it's something that I think everyone would benefit from understanding better to ensure that they're, you know, budgeting, scheduling, executing against this component. Mauricio, thank you so much for taking the time to put together this series. I know how busy you are on projects and how much effort it takes to write content of that quality. Really appreciate you taking your time out of your day to join us today. All the links that we mentioned, we'll put them in the show notes for the talk. If you like this talk, please remember to upvote, subscribe, and share it with everyone you know. You can check out our past TagOne team talks at tagone.com/TTT. That's three T's for TagOne team talks. As always, we'd love your feedback and input, you know, any topic suggestions. You can write to us at TTT@TagOne.com. And again, Mauricio, thank you so much for joining us, and everybody who tuned in, thank you as well. See you next time.
Thank you. See you.